tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
Well, a Scotsman clad in kilt left the bar one evening fair, and one could tell by how he walked that he'd drunk more than his share. He fumbled round until he could no longer keep his feet, and he stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. Ring ding diddle little idio, ring da diddly io. He stumbled off into the grass to sleep beside the street. About that time two young and lovely girls just happened by. One says to the other with a twinkle in her eye, see yon sleeping Scotsman so strong and handsome built. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o. I wonder if it's true what they don't wear beneath the kilt. They crept up on that sleeping Scotsman quiet as could be, lifted up his kilt about an inch so they could see, and there behold for them to view beneath his Scottish skirt was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o, was nothing more than God had graced him with upon his birth. They marveled for a moment, then one said, we must be gone. Let's leave a present for our friend before we move along. As a gift they left a blue silk ribbon tied into a bow. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o. Around the bonny star the Scots kilt did lift and show. Now the Scotsman woke to nature's call and stumbled towards the trees. Behind the bush he lifts his kilt and gawks at what he sees. And in a startled voice he says to what's before his eyes, oh, lad, I don't know where you've been, but I see you won first prize. Ring ding diddle little laddie-o, ring da diddly i-o.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following... not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin-skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty, here we are. It is Monday, 30th of June, last day of June, month of the year's half over officially here at midnight tonight, I guess. But anyway, welcome to The Shooting Bench. I'm Cope Reynolds. I'll be here with you for a couple of hours. We've got a lot of things to talk about here. Things have, a lot of topics have come up here since, Wednesday night, I guess, was the last time we talked about that kind of thing. Had our gun night on Thursday and our music night on Friday. And it's killing me not being able to talk about some of this stuff. So we'll get on with that here in just a minute. I got to put a reference here in the chat room real quick. 007, I don't know if you've ever been to my site there, theshootingbench.yuku.com. Lots of good information there. It's been... thank you, 007. There's a lot of stuff there, everything from... guns, communications, the site didn't last a real long time, mainly because I didn't ever push it. It was pretty active there for, I don't know, a year or two, I'll tell you what happened is I got into this radio show and the podcast and all that kind of stuff, so I kind of neglected it, and eventually everybody pretty much drifted away. But I decided to keep it up because there's a lot of good information there. Lots of colloidal silver information if you want to learn about that. Long-range handgun, there's a lot of stuff on there. So now I'll tell you, the very best place to go, I'll say the place with the most information, I think, reputable, good information, is Survival Blog. Go to James Wesley Rawls' site. And I doubt if you could read everything that's on his site in 6 months if you spent, 4 or 5 hours a day, every day on the computer. There's a lot of, ton of information there. There's some of it that I don't necessarily agree with completely, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means I don't necessarily agree with it completely. So go check it out and form your own opinions. I like Jim real well. We've spent a little bit of personal time together. He come and stayed with us for a couple of days when he was writing the book the book Survivors. He come and stayed with us to make sure that it was geographically correct when he wrote it, and that was fun spending some time with him and showing him around up there and get making sure everything in his book was right. New class, well, it's not a new class, but we've got a class coming up here that some of you may be interested in. It's something we've done a little bit before, just kind of dabbled in it, but now we've put together a full-fledged two-day class called Hunting Rifle. And we get away from the defensive stuff. There's a few mentions of it in there just because that's our nature and we can't get completely away from it. But primarily, it's about hunting. Big game, mostly. Well, not necessarily. They're varmint hunting and other things, too. But what it's about, and we've already got a guy from Prescott wants to get in this class, so I'm going ahead and starting to push it a little bit now. And we'll spend some time, there's quite a bit of classroom time in there, and we want people to make good, clean, quick, humane kills so that they, you know, we don't like animals suffering, not only for the fact that we just don't like them to suffer, period, because it's just not a good thing to do. But when an animal suffers like that, you wind up having to oftentimes shoot them more than once, sometimes more than twice, if you're not a very good shot and don't realize what you're supposed to be doing. The other thing is that not only when you shoot it two or three or four times, every time that bullet hits, you're ruining more meat, unless you shoot it in the head. And the other thing on top of that is they get filled with adrenaline. You take something like an antelope. That's the reason people say that antelope's no good. It's because they usually run the hell out of them and chase them with pickups out there in the hot, hot early fall. And they finally get it down, and then they just kind of clean it like they would a deer and get it back home and everything. And then find out that it's really not worth throwing away. And that is because of the adrenaline, and antelope are their goats, more or less. So they need cleaned and cooled very rapidly. If it's that hot, then you should have a cooler, a big cooler with a lot of ice in it, and get that animal cleaned out and get some ice in the body cavity quickly and get him cooled down. Get the skin off of him as quick as you can, as soon as you can find some shade. And it'll be the best eating you ever had in your life. But if you don't do that, it's they're not worth wasting a bullet on, unless you just one of those insane, arrogant, egotistical individuals that likes to shoot just for horns. Horns are fine as long as you don't waste the meat. Yeah, Doc, I thought you were going to say a 600 nitro would be just right for antelope. Yeah, that would work perfectly for antelope. There'd be not likely to be any suffering there. Rights at risk, it's very much, if you go look at James Wesley Rawls' site, I don't think there's much of anything there that you can't find something about. Concretin, I see you... You found out pretty quickly how much time this radio show can eat up here, and it does. It eats up a lot of your time every day. You spend time before, you spend time after, you spend time downloading archives and uploading stuff and research to make sure that what you're talking about is correct and legitimate, and it does take up a lot of time. And I've done, 2 hours a day for... over 3 years now, and did an hour. Well, when I was before that, let's see, 2 hours. No, it's been 4 years. It's been 4 years I've done 2 hours a day. Before that, I was only doing 2 hours a week for several years, and then an hour a week for a year or so before that. So it does take a hell of a lot of time, and I've told you guys numerous times. Sometimes, boy, it gets awful tempting just to say, you know what? This is going to have to be the last week of the shooting bench. I have life to lead and things to do, places to go and people to see. But I just can't bring myself to do it. It's like the militia. How do you retire from the militia? How do you quit? So we just keep on plugging on and doing the best we can and hoping that we can... get everything that we need to keep the show running. And the Amy is wanting to quit a few times, and then when she gets into it, though, she enjoys it. She doesn't have many listeners in the morning because of the time that it is, but she really enjoys the people that she has. She knows that there's a lot of people that listen to her archives and stuff. So hang on here just a second. Let me turn this thing off so it'll stop making that noise. It's my youngest daughter here. All right, that'll fix that. Okay, well, yeah, the tinker, I don't know if I can do that. I may be full of myself and too self-centered to think this. I just feel like I've got a lot of people that seem to, or that I feel like this information and enjoy the show and stuff, and I just can't bring myself to face them and say, hey, you know, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. You know, go find something else to do. It's not my fault. It's not my problem. But anyway. Okay. Hopper just made it in. Hopper, you're down here just in time, buddy. We're just fixing to get into the meat and potatoes of everything here. And Rights at Risk, I tell you, you and the cat girls are some of the primary reasons that Amy hangs in there. She loves you guys. And thanks, 007. All right, let's move on here. Oh, there's a quick update on the fire here. 5,700 acres and only 5% contained. And they did find out, I think I told you Friday, that they did determine that it was man-caused and it started on the reservation. So we'll see what happens with a little more investigation there of that. So let's look. I guess you guys have probably seen on the news here, great victory for us, for liberty, for freedom. And it seems that there's been 13 times so far that the Supreme Court has ruled against your president. And they just ruled against him again in favor of Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby has won. Hobby Lobby is not required to provide contraception in their insurance, which goes against their religious beliefs. And I think this is an awesome day. It's a wonderful thing. But that stupid damn Nancy Pelosi, they're the liberals all over are just absolutely beside themselves with this decision that just came out today. It says Hobby Lobby and others, some of these what they call closely held corporations with religious objections, are not forced to pay for contraception, which I thought was the most absurd. Damn religion. I you know, that doesn't even make any, I don't care about the religion. Well, you know what I mean. I do care about it. But for this topic, it doesn't matter. Why should a company or the taxpayers have to pay for contraception? If you have a problem with that, keep your legs shut and your clothes on, and you won't have to worry about that. But this was just totally absurd to me. I didn't even get it at all. I didn't understand. And then to find out that they were expected to do it because of the law, that was just way over my head. I did not understand that. But Hobby Lobby has won. And would you believe that this is kind of like the religion of peace, you know, the Islam and that the liberals are calling for Hobby Lobby stores to be burned to the ground. Why in the world is it that important to them? Why is it any skin off of their knuckles? I do not understand. But they're calling for Hobby Lobby stores across, and you know, they may do it. They're just about retarded enough that they would do that. And the our beloved House Minority Leader, Nancy, I can't even bring myself to say her name, Pelosi, said on Twitter that the decision is, listen to this, a gross violation of workers' religious rights. Can you even believe that she said that? A gross violation of workers' religious rights. That is the most absurd BS that I have ever heard in my life. I don't know where she gets this stuff. I don't know how in the world she come up with some of with a statement like that. Rights at Risk says the comments on Facebook were why are they vicious? Why does anybody care? So what if they get out of it? You know, the liberals, they're not going to make any more money. It's not going to change their it's strictly what's the word I'm trying to think of? It's an emotional thing for them. You know, they didn't get their way, and it's nothing to them. It's no skin off their teeth one way or the other. They're not going to have to pay anymore. It's not going to affect their coverage. Well, I guess it will, too, because I guess the liberals are the ones that think that they should be able to do what? How should I put it? Be able to think that the taxpayers should pay for recreational sex. Now, recreational sex is a wonderful thing, but that is your choice, and you're wanting the state to pay. Or the taxpayers, so Obamacare, to pay so that you can have recreational sex without consequences. And I think that's absurd. I think it's absolutely insane. These people are insane. And that's right, infidel. You grew up, you paid for it yourself. That's right. If you want to do it, then you take care of it. That's your decision. You know, do whatever. That's between you and God and your partner there. You know, do whatever trips your trigger. But don't expect me to pay for it. Palm Bay. That's right. Obama let McDonald's and Walmart and a couple others off the hook there too. Thunder 57 made it in. Haven't seen you for a while. It is very much a control issue, just like gun control. It is completely about control and not at all about guns. So, I thought that was standby a minute. Is that breaking news? Oh, great. Yeah, we got another news story we're going to have to cover here in a little bit. You got to stand by for that. All right, well, that's all I got to say about the Hobby Lobby deal and all of that, the Supreme Court decision. So, it seems that KFC has been in the news quite a bit lately. Remember the girl, that they claimed had to... that got kicked out because of her looks, because she was attacked by the bulldogs. Well, then they found out it was a hoax, so both of those things got them in the news. Now we're in there again. When a woman said that her Studios. 7-year-old stepson...
This is San Diego's news source.
San Diego's news source. Where is that coming from? Get over it already.
And we begin with a tragic story from Fiesta Island, where 12-year-old...
Tragic story. Uh-huh. Right there,
boy, shot himself to death this morning. I'm Bill
Griffith.
Hi, Virginia Chaw. It is a shocking
Virginia.
Situation for the parents to find out
wow,
there was a gun at that camp.
I hate these automatic playing cotton picking
PS
things.
Island, Bob. Understand.
Okay. Wow. All right. Here we go. All right. Where were we before I was so rudely interrupted? KFC, seven-year-old stepson, a lady's seven-year-old stepson. This was in England. This boy had sunk his teeth into this piece of chicken, what she thought was a piece of chicken, and found out that he'd been served up a very nice blue paper towel, all battered up and pretty and everything. And you know those blue paper towels that you see them at the garages and stuff to clean up. They're quite a bit heavier duty and more expensive than regular kitchen paper towels. You've seen those. Well, that's what it was. So as soon as this kid took his first bite, they figured out something was wrong. Pulled it out of his mouth, and it pulled the thing away from the batter a little bit, or pulled the battery away from the paper towel. And this was apparently looked like it had been done purposely. It looks like it had been rolled up and battered and all of that. And somebody probably probably found out their contraception wasn't going to be paid for. Well, not in England, I guess. Anyway, having a bad day or something, she said it was, she wouldn't think it'd be quite so bad, but she didn't have any idea what the towel had been used for. It had bleach or disinfectant or, you know, body fluids or snot or whatever the case may be. Someone wiped their hands on it, wiped the floor. She don't have any idea. But here is KFC's apology. After they conducted the investigation, they said, "We're very sorry for Miss Henderson's experience and apologized to her immediately, as well as giving her a refund at the time of the incident. We take food quality and hygiene very seriously, and unfortunately, on this extremely rare occasion, our restaurant failed to meet the high standards that both we and our customers expect. We have retrained staff on our stringent food preparation procedures at this store to ensure this doesn't happen again." Well, all the training in the world will not ensure that it won't happen again. That's just somebody will come to work mad or get mad at work or get fired or get passed over for a promotion or whatever the case may be, and something like that could happen again, and it's always going to happen. Things like that, you know, there are immoral, unethical, valueless people out there that do stupid stuff like that. And if they were going to retrain staff, why would they just do it at that particular store? That should have been a corporation-wide thing. But anyway, that's a little outside of the topic of stuff we usually talk about. But yeah, that's 007. It is bad. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. It's just about break time, so I'll go down through here real quickly and see what's going on in the chat room, and then we'll go to a break and we'll come back here and start all over again. Let me get stuff moved around here a little bit. I don't know why I can't ever be smart enough to do this before we go to the break. But all right, let's do this just like this then.
I'll be back.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench. here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. All right, we're back. I don't think I ever quite finished the explanation on the hunting rifle class a while ago. What we're going to do, we kind of got off into a tangent there on antelope and whatever, but what we want to do is explain to people how to make that perfect shot and the distances that they can expect to do it, and the type of ammunition to choose, a little bit about ballistics and bullet performance, and different action types, a little on optics, and just a little bit on everything, including, you know, finding game and the stock and a little bit of everything there. And then get out to the range, and we're going to shoot out to 500 yards. Not that I endorse shooting game animals at 500 yards for most people, but I know that some of these people are going to attempt to try it, kind of like our long range class. The farther away we shoot and the better you do, then we find out that the better you do at close range. When it's all over with the long range handgun class, we get back and shoot at, you know, 7, 8, 10, 12 yards again, typical handgun self-defense raising, and find out that those 2.5, 3-inch groups have all of a sudden now turned into half-inch groups, you know, 1-inch groups or something. And that's kind of what we want to do with the hunting rifle class. I'm going to try to discourage people at shooting much more than 400 yards is my personal limit. And everybody needs to set their own personal limit on, depending on the caliber of gun, the conditions, the terrain, your own personal skill level, weather conditions, all that kind of stuff, before you decide that just because you sit out there on the range and hit a paper target at 500 yards, that you need to attempt to shoot a deer at 500 yards. I don't condone that at all. Not that it can't be done. I know a guy, well, I know three of them right here locally, that shoot exceedingly long ranges, and they'll shoot deer, elk, antelope in excess of 1,200 and 1,500 yards. But these people are freaks of nature. They have all the proper equipment. They have everything that goes, the training and everything that goes along with it. And when they pull that trigger, there is no doubt in their mind that that deer's going home with them. There's just no question. Or they wouldn't pull the trigger, because that's the kind of guys that they are. So, hang on 1 second here. Let me get something taken care of real quick. Anyway, I'm headed out to the ranch tomorrow morning. Got an interview out there with a some young journalists from a station in Phoenix area. It's quite an interesting deal, and they've wanted to. They've got a story going on with their network or their station there. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And they've got a story coming up called Gun Wars, and it's a News 21 is what it is. If you want to check on it. And you open up their page, and it says they're redefining journalism, reporting on a changing of America. And one of the things they're doing, I think this is pretty awesome. They've got coming up next month, or in August, they've got a deal coming up called Gun Wars. And it says it will document the struggle over gun rights and regulation in America for its fifth major national project. 27 students from 16 universities working under the direction of editors Leonard Downey Jr., Jacqueline Petchel, and Peter, whatever Peter's last name is, will complete their investigation this summer. So I talked to these kids. They are to me. At the preparedness fair, and they seem very squared away and on our side and very, very conservative. So I feel comfortable about doing it. So I'll let you know how that goes, but that's going to be taking place around noon or so tomorrow. And when it's done, then I'm going to, you know, unload some stuff out of my truck and turn around and come right back here. So, let's see. Before we get going here on that, I want to check and see what's going on in the chat room here. Let's see. Okay. All right, let me move on here. I think that's all. I was talking about News 21. I think that's all that those are the people doing the interview. So we'll see what happens. I'll let you know tomorrow night. I have every intention of being in here tomorrow night for the show. If something happens and I can't, well, I can't. But I have every intention of being here. So let's just assume that I will be here at the normal time. There's a new ruling here, another one by the Supreme Court. And this, you know, some time back, I believe it was, I think it was 2005, that it was ruled that they could take a blood test, a blood sample, against your wishes, and pretty much any time. They didn't have to have anything, any reasonable suspicion or anything to do it. Well, there's been a new ruling for this, and this just came about last Wednesday. U.S. Supreme Court ruled that blood can no longer be drawn from non-consenting drunken driving suspects without a search warrant or special circumstances that would exempt police from getting one. So, now before, and I don't understand, I didn't even know that. But this is a 5-4 ruling, comes in a Missouri case, and hopefully this will have a ripple effect here and go through other states as well. But some of these states have routinely obtained forcible blood draws without warrants. I had no idea they could do that. I mean, I knew that if you know, somebody's fallen down drunk and in some circumstances, you know, it kind of sounded a little bit more logical. But with this earlier ruling, they could do it just because. And, damn, that's one of those things I'm just thinking, I'm really glad that that's never, I've never been faced with that choice there. Damn, I'm just afraid that just wouldn't go well. So I'm glad that they've reversed that decision. Well, they didn't reverse that decision, but as the Supreme Court has ruled on in a case in Wisconsin. So I'm sure that this will follow right along with other states here pretty quickly. It's quite a long story, quite a very long story, actually, about what they've done. So we're just going to hit the highlights there, and you guys can do some research on that and check it out for yourself if you want. Day before yesterday, I was introduced to a story. Actually, you can thank Minnie Minpin for ruining a lot of people's weekend. She posted a thing in the chat room, and I went and looked at it. It was just just another dog shooting. And oh God, this made me so mad. I just went off in a fit of rage, you know, all day. I spent most of the day, I hardly ever do that, but I spent most of the day on Facebook, putting out stuff about trying to wake people up, make them angry, get them to think about what's going on. And I think it worked. I've gotten a lot of response off of these. But this dog shooting, believe it or not, they had, I don't even have the story in front of me here now. Let me see if I saved it. No, that's not it. Well, anyway, I got it. Stop looking. Never mind. So this gal, 32-year-old woman, Ginger Sweat was her name. My assistant principal in junior high school is named Sweat. Anyway, she's calling for them to change their practices after an officer fired shots. Let me tell you what happened here. She said that she and her husband and two kids live in this house, and she saw a car speeding down the road, their normally quiet road, thinking it was her neighbor's at first. She sent a text message to her husband asking to tell the neighbors to drive a little slower, and then she saw it was the cops. And she called her husband and asked him if he knew what was going on. Her husband then called state police and let officers know that his wife and children, 18 months old and 7 months old, were in the home. And they blew him off the first time he called. The second time they said, okay, we'll let the officers know. And he told her that the officers were looking for this guy who was reported threatening his wife Tuesday morning, the day before this happened, and fired a shot at an officer responding to calls for help, and then took off in a car. A little while later, she saw 8 more police vehicles go by and a helicopter. She said, that's more traffic we get here in a year. She was putting one of the kids down for a nap about 1 o'clock when she glanced out the window and saw 8 officers in all of their brand new tactical high-speed low-drag ninja warrior gear coming out of the woods towards her home. One of them had a barking dog on a police dog on a leash. So her dog was kind of interested in that. So what's all this going on? It's a basset hound beagle mix, 6-year-old dog, laying on the porch. And she said, what is that going on? So the dog left the porch, made his way towards the cops, and she said that her dog suffered from arthritis so bad in her back legs that she's not aggressive and can't run too well. And she got 2 dogs. The other one went back in the house. She said she was still inside when she saw a trooper raise his weapon towards her dog. She ran out the door, jumping up, down, screaming, don't shoot my dog, he won't bite you, just let me get him in the house. She said the officer fired 1 shot towards the dog but missed. I mean, really? I about had a poop hemorrhage when I read this story yesterday, day before yesterday. Unbelievable. She said the dog at that time turned around and run back toward her. She said he ran towards me with desperation in his eyes. They fired again in my direction. The dog was running to this woman, and these stupid cops are shooting at the dog running towards the woman in the house. She said they fired again in my direction, in the direction of my home and where my kids were. She said 3 more shots were fired, a total of 4 shots. She said the dog was hit 3 times. Dog went to the back of the mobile home. She found the dog near the air conditioner. She said, I watched my dog struggle and then die. I collapsed in a puddle in the floor, screaming and crying. I watched that dog be born, and I watched him die. She said, on the one hand, you want to say, you want to say, well, you know, the cops had a a little change of heart, and they felt bad about it and all that. But, you know, there was no excuse for this. The dog said, I mean, the cop said right there on the spot, said, ma'am, we're dog people too, but we couldn't let them fight. Well, I'm thinking they probably weren't going to fight because the one's on a leash and the other one's running back towards the house. The cop said, I'm sorry, where's your shovel? I'll bury him. She said the dog wasn't at all vicious. She wouldn't have let a dog like that around her kids. And she's more than a little bit upset about it. But more than that, she's mad because she wasn't told that the police were looking around near her house for a criminal, or maybe she'd have put the dog up, you know, kept the kids in, kept the doors locked, and she wasn't informed of any of that. But mostly, the thing she's maddest about is they shot toward my home with me standing there, she said. If they were here, why didn't they notify us? I would have put my dogs up in the house. And anyway, they the police spokesman there said the officers are still searching for the guy that they were looking for, and he declined to comment on the shooting of the dog. He said, it's counterproductive. It's only serving to fan the tension. We've had several people responding to us in a very irrational way, and we feel that it's counterproductive to comment further. What he means by irrational way is that they were mad and that they want some answers. They want accountability. That's what they call irrational. It's what I call people starting to get pissed. You can be pissed without being irrational. Trust me. Trust me on that. I know you can do that. A comment posted on the state police Facebook page talked about the unfortunate shooting of the aggressive dog. And there was another Facebook page put up, and you can go look at this if you want. It's called Justice for Willie Pete. That's the dog's name, Willie Pete. Had 3,000 likes by the next afternoon. So no telling how many it's got now. But the comments on this story are not good. There's not one single comment down there. Well, I don't know. I haven't read all the hundreds of them, but I've read a lot of them. I got kind of caught up in this and read quite a few of these stories. And there's not a single one there that is in support. Well, the cops had to do what they had to do or anything like that. All of them, every one, are saying, you know, what a bunch of sorry pukes. They had no reason to do that. No wonder. Now, here's one guy. He says, I have two sons and a dog. My son, ages 9 and 11, Cub Scout and Boy Scout, they no longer trust police. What is wrong with these? These damn cops are totally out of control. His kids, at that age, don't trust cops because of all the stuff that they're reading and hearing and seeing on TV and all of that. And all of these down here, he talks about uniformed thugs and all this kind of stuff. So, one guy said, well, why didn't the trooper shoot his dog if it was so important they didn't fight? They were on Willie Pete's property. Got a point there. And what ticks me off, and what I said on my, and this sent me into an explosive rant on Facebook. I mean, I never cuss on Facebook. You know, maybe a few damns and hells once in a while, but that's the extent of it. I just about lost it. I have gone so nuts on this. But when you, all you have to do, and this was evidenced here during the Bundy Ranch thing. One of those ladies, somebody just kicked at a dog. Didn't even make contact with the dog, I don't think. Just kicked at it, and they tasered it. No, that was the woman they took down to the ground, I think, that kicked at the police dog. So that's assaulting an officer, in case you didn't know. You know, their dogs are just mutts like any other dog. If the dog is aggressive and goes to bite or do something, I think you ought to shoot it. When the dog is running away from you, I think you ought to put your gun away and watch it run away from you. If the dog was very aggressive, it would not have run the other way. So that put me into a fit of rage where I posted some other videos. And Rights at Risk looked at one of them there where this kid's slapping this little boy around. The boy couldn't have been 3 years old, 2 years old. I don't know what he was. He was walking, but he wasn't very big. And, oh, good Lord, you talk about pissed. That really, really bothered me. And then there's another one where, and both these guys look like they're Middle Easterners. So, if that tells you anything. Mountain Shooter, the only time I would throat chambers on a pistol is if we have trouble with them chambering, which is very popular, pretty frequently done on 1911s. I've never had the need to throat a chamber on a Glock or a Browning High Power. I polished them up a little bit, and I don't even know that it needed it then. I just kind of a just in case is one of those things I like to do. But as far as actually throating it, no. The only thing I've seen really throated are 1911s, and that was because of feeding issues. So if I don't know if that was the answer you were looking for or not. But 007, that's a good question. If shots are fired at your house, can you return fire? Well, I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, especially when they're shooting at your dog and the dog's running away, then I'd... And this puts us in a tremendous, tremendous, puts us at odds here real bad. Because it is, I think, our God-given right. Yeah, Palm Bay, you know, that's a good question, too. Why didn't this use pepper spray if they're worried about the dog coming up there? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the dog was running away from it and it was too far for pepper spray. That's probably why. And the bullets go much farther. The Tinker, I don't, you know, say all cops are not bad, just the 2 or 3% that give the rest a bad name. I'm thinking that 2 or 3% is probably a lot closer to just guessing. I'm going to say somewhere, you know, 10, 15%. I mean, these stories are coming. Can you imagine what may have gone on before the advent of all of these cameras that we have everywhere, and cell phones with cameras, and recording devices, and security cameras that we... I mean, before all this happened, I wonder how many things were gotten away with, things that were done... And completely, you know, they turned the story completely around because there's no way to prove otherwise. I don't know. But it bothers me. It ticks me off a lot. Let me check my chat room out here real quick. See what's going on. And Mountain Shooter, you may be right. 20-30%. I don't know. I don't know how much it is, but I know that they're getting... Infidel says maybe 40-45%. Oh, okay, DeTinker, I misread what you said. You said that 2 or 3% give the rest a good name. Yeah, that's probably closer to right. And I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. I don't like to say that. I... really, really don't, because I, all my life, I have, you know, regardless of the problems I've been in my life with being drunk and fighting and speeding and doing everything else I've had, you know, during that particular instance at that particular time on that particular night, I didn't like that particular cop. But I have never had a blanket bad attitude towards cops. But damn, things are subject to change, because we're seeing this innocent people killed and innocent dogs killed and all kinds of crap happening every single day. Every day. Well, with all that being said, I think I probably ought to go to a break here and go take a blood pressure pill and I got to get some new sound stuff up here. This is getting... All right. I'll be back in a minute.
That's what I said. Done good. But he's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Enemy is approaching fast. We're twisting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
genius.
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Saturday evening is 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
Alrighty, we're back. We still got no shortage of stuff to talk about. Just got an update on the fire. The fire is right now at 6,400 acres. Still only 5% contained. I'm not sure exactly how that mountain shooter probably can explain this a little better. But a lot of the increased acreage is due to the back burning that they were doing last few days. They're expecting the containment numbers to go up dramatically here in the next day or two with some of the techniques that they're using to get this thing under control. And went to a meeting Friday night or whatever it was, Friday night, and they said that it's that the majority of it has not been, as they say, moonscaped. It hasn't been all turned to glass like a lot of the Wallow Fire was. This is actually a very, for the most part, seems like a good fire. It's just happening at a bad time. But a lot of it is sweeping through fairly quickly and burning off all the underbrush. It's not creating what they call a crown fire, where the fire all goes to the tops of the trees and just, you know, pretty much ruins everything for 100 years or whatever. So it's not the end of the world. It is putting a ton of smoke in the air. You can see for some of the pictures I posted there about it earlier. But for the most part, I think it's, even though it says it's only 5% contained, I think that it's probably, I think the biggest part of the danger, the biggest part of the threat from this fire is probably about done. And, it'll probably go up to 7,000 or so. What's another 600 acres amongst friends? But, Wednesday night, I may try to make that meeting there, Mouse. And I should be back from, Kingman by then, so. Okay, now then. There's another story. Now, this is kind of disturbing. This is ISIS, you know what ISIS, what is it, Islamic something, another, Iraq and Syria, I can't remember what the other S stands for. Anyway, it's a group of ragheads here that think they're Islamic State of Iraq and in Syria, Iraq and al-Sham. Anyway, they're declaring themselves a caliphate. I think that's how you pronounce that. And basically what that means to us is that they are they're declaring themselves their own kind of their own government, like a state, even though they don't have a state, so to speak. They're kind of trying to create their own form of government, or trying to make other people believe that that's what they had. Caliphate comes from, you probably heard of caliphs, the caliph that rules large areas of, I don't know the exact definition, but it's kind of like a, in some ways, I think it's kind of like a sheikh in Saudi Arabia, but not exactly the same. But at any rate, what it means is they're going in here and they're stirring these people up and trying to get them all to unite under one caliph. And that could be a very, very, very bad thing. That could be a very serious problem if they are successful in doing this. But from what they said here, this is, if, assuming that this is translated correctly, it says, the time has come for the nation of Muhammad, peace be upon him, to wake up from its sleep, remove the garments of dishonor, and shake off the dust of humiliation and disgrace. For the era of lamenting and moaning has gone, and the dawn of honor has emerged anew. The sun of jihad has risen, the glad tidings of good are shining, triumph looms on the horizon, the signs of victory have appeared. So what I get out of all that is that these guys are really trying to get this large group, get a nation together, and they seem to be encouraging them and giving them hope by these little pep talks here. And if that is successful, I think this could be a extremely, gravely serious event. For whatever I know about it, that's my story and I'm sticking to it, but I think that it's could be a very dangerous thing. Let's see. Here's a little statement here. The announcement of the caliphate also means that the group is abandoning its former name and territorial claim over Iraq and al-Sham in favor of a claim over all Muslims. The group will now formally be known just as Islamic State. That sounds to me like about the most dangerous thing that these people could have possibly done or ever do. It demands that all Muslims pledge obedience to its leader, who they describe as a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, and refers to as Caliph Ibrahim, using his given, I think that's got to have some reference to Abraham there, but anyway, the legality of all emirates, groups, states, and organizations become null to the expansion of the caliph's authority and arrival of its troops to their areas, quoting and saying that no man should sleep before he has sworn allegiance. Now, I can't see one good thing coming out of this. If I had to say that there was something good out of it, it just means that it'll be a more target-rich environment when the time comes. I guess that's the only thing I could say. But they're ganging up. They're packing up like wild dogs, and I think that if they are successful in doing this, then Doc's right. It says ISIS needs to get a clue in at least 20 megatons. Yeah, I'm okay with that. The infidel, I'm not so sure. Infidel says it wouldn't hold together long. If they get it together at all. I'm not so sure about that. As far as all Muslims, no, probably not. But I think that they could get a substantial portion of them, probably the majority. If this guy claims to be a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, these people are looking for somebody to follow. They're looking for somebody that will take them where they, deep in their heart, that's where they want to go. And and if that's the truth, then I think that I think they'll be quite successful at it. Even if they're moderately successful, it will be a very, very serious thing. I see nothing good whatsoever happening out of that. So, because of that, I think we'll move on. In Oregon, we've talked about this a time or two, different places around the country, where it's illegal for you to harvest rainwater because the rainwater belongs to the state, belongs to the government. It's not your rainwater. A guy in Oregon here was just sentenced to 30 days because he had collected rainwater and snow runoff on his property. He surrendered Wednesday morning, last Wednesday. Oh, no, it's not either last Wednesday. This story's quite a bit older than that. This goes back, this story's a couple of years old. But anyway, we talked about being illegal to do that, and a lot of people were just incredulous that was even to be mentioned. Well, here is a story. Here's one of them. He's in 30 days. He said, "I'm sacrificing my liberty so we can stand up as a county and stand for our liberty." A lot of people held up signs, showed support for him. If he's found guilty of breaking a law from 1925 for having what state managers called 3 illegal reservoirs on his property. He was convicted of 9 misdemeanors, sentenced to 30 days in jail, and fined over $1,500 for collecting rainwater and snow runoff on his property. Oregon Water Resources Department claims that he'd been violated the state's water use law by diverting water from streams running into the Big Butte River. Says he's not diverting the state's water, merely collecting rainwater and snowmelt that falls or flows on his own property. I can see where there has to be some moderation in that somewhere, because if someone lived on a little bit higher elevation than the rest of the town depended on runoff for their irrigation and everything, and someone captured all that into a huge reservoir and didn't let it out, and then could even in fact probably charge to let the water out so people could irrigate, I can see how that would need to be regulated. What I don't see is it is just as illegal in some places, and Oregon's one of them, to put rain barrels under your gutters of your house and collect rainwater for, you know, some people like to wash their clothes in rainwater. Other people would like to rather use it on their plants and their garden and stuff. Some people just have it for just to lay in an extra supply of water. But you know, there's a medium there somewhere between interfering with all the water coming off a mountain and collecting the water off of your roof. Says he's vowed to continue to fight the penalty, stating that the government has become big bullies and that from here on in, I'm going to fight it. And speaking of big bullies, I got to go find something for you. I got to find a YouTube video. You've got to hear this. And Rights at Risk and Punkin' Cat and Iowa Cat was here, I think they would very much appreciate this. But let me find this story. I thought it was absolutely awesome. I want you to listen to this here. Let's see. Well, I may have to look for it during the next break here, because I don't see it just popping up here real quick, and I don't want to tell you and give it all away. Nope, I'll just have to find it here in a few minutes for you. Shoot, I thought it would be easier to find that. Anyhow, you'll appreciate this when I find it here, and I will find it because I want you guys to hear it. Anyway, this guy, that's what reminded me of it. Hold on here a minute. That's what reminded me of it. This guy said that he's not going to be bullied anymore. So, hey, got a buddy down from Phoenix listening. Just got a private message from him. Glad to hear you. Or glad to see you there. You're hearing me, and I'm seeing you. Anyway, glad you made it. So, dadgummit, where is that story? I've got to find that. Well, it's only 10 minutes to a break. I'll find it here in a little bit. Oh, I know how to find it, because I'm awesome. I remember now, because I am the supreme ruler over my computer. And I just remembered how I can go and find this thing. And here we go. Ha! Boy, am I cool or what? All right, we're going to give this thing just a second here to buffer. And I want you to listen. Turn up your sound. I think it's kind of weak, but check this out.
Lord, Lord, did Papa Gatlin stir up a hornet's nest yesterday on Fox News? Well, good. The signers of the Declaration of Independence said, "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Well, I no longer care about my life. I no longer care about my fortune. I do care about my sacred honor. I will no longer be ruled. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just sitting here having me a cup of coffee. Hooray for the Supreme Court. They finally got a couple of them right. So we have not really done a whole lot of political stuff, just tongue-in-cheek in our shows. And it's not going to be like coming to a, one of those little county meetings where everybody's screaming at each other. But especially on this Twitter and this Facebook thing, I'm not afraid anymore. I wasn't afraid then. I just took other people's counsel that we shouldn't do that. Well, here's what I say about other people's counsel. Congratulations, Supreme Court. You did it right. And I'm going to speak out every chance I get. Boy, I was vilified yesterday. People just screamed and hot. Were they ever mad? About 10% of them. The rest of them, they're tired of being ruled too. So keep following along or go your own way. God bless you either way. God bless America. I will not do nothing. I will do something. Let's turn this off, right? Lord, Lord, did Papa get...
Stop. You already told your story. Okay, if you guys haven't figured that out yet, that was Larry Gatlin, or one of the I think it was the older... Rights at Risk. That was the one, the Larry Gatlin video. Now, that's something. Coming from an entertainer that is as great as the Gatlin brothers. And they're saying, you know, they're saying what Cope Reynolds said a couple of years ago over a sign. I don't care what it does to my business. You know, this has to get out. I have to express my displeasure, regardless of the consequences. Larry Gatlin has come out and said, you know what? I will not be ruled. He was counseled. He was counseled not to do that. Of course he was. What do you think your public affairs guy is going to say, and your producers and stuff? Oh no, Larry, no, you can't. I know how you feel. I'm with you, son, but you can't do that. You know what that's going to do to your people? Well, he just said right there what we experienced. He said about 10% of them were mad. The other ones, they're with him because they're all starting to understand. They're all waking up here. I don't think it was anywhere near 10% that was negative when we posted our sign. I think it was more like 2%. And they're telling him, oh, you can't do that. And they said, I will do that. I am tired of being ruled. I love it. I thought that was an awesome video. The video itself was kind of, you know, it was very unprofessional, but it came from the heart, and he did it himself. And it wasn't the video itself that was so awesome. It was what he said. He said, I'm just not going to do it. I just can't take it no more. Good for him. Damn sure glad to hear it. Okay. Let's slow down here a little bit. Let me get my switch gears here. I got so much stuff opening up. Okay, here's another one. Not only are cops killing dogs because they're running away from him, now it appears, as of 5 days ago, that the police have killed a pastor in Georgia. Gunned down, they say, by police in his vehicle at a gas station during a botched sting over $50 worth of drugs. The pastor, they said, had nothing to do with the drugs. He was given a ride and money to an impoverished woman in his community. Pastor's name was Jonathan Ayers. He's a pastor of the Shoal Creek Baptist Church in Livonia, Georgia. On September 1st, 2009, this is a new story, but this is when it happened. He was 28 years old, was driving, and recognized a woman walking that he had known for quite a while. And he said that she had no permanent home, was living with her boyfriend at a motel. He said he offered her a ride and gave her $23 that was in his pocket to help her out with the rent. He'd helped a woman in the past as part of his ministry. And so they pulled into a gas station where he proceeded to pull out another $20 from an ATM. Cash in hand. He then got back in the car. Immediately, a black SUV veered into the gas station. Three strange men hopped out, aimed guns at Ayers' vehicle, fearing for his life, attempted to evade the trio of belligerent gunmen. And this is something else that we're seeing a lot. These cops are showing up with nothing on their uniforms, not wearing anything that would identify them. Maybe it's on the back, but maybe not on the front. Either you turn around and show me your back and who you are, or don't come running towards me wearing your little black ninja suit. Well, unfortunately, he doesn't appear that he had a gun or the training to... there was only three of them. But anyway, unfortunately, they weren't carjackers and they weren't armed robbers. They were undercover police officers dressed in plain clothes who'd been following this woman who had been suspected of getting high without permission of the government. When he put his car in reverse and mashed his gas pedal, his vehicle grazed, or nearly grazed, one of the cops. This was the Mountain Judicial Circuit Narcotics Criminal Investigation and Suppression Team. How awesome is that? Is that not the coolest name for a bunch of cops you've ever heard in your life? It has got a little ring to it, you know? Listen to this. The Mountain Judicial Circuit Narcotics Criminal Investigation and Suppression Team. And then they call it NCIS. How in the world do you even remember all that? Anyway, one of the agents opened fire, hit the pastor in the liver, and his vehicle continued for a short distance until it hit into a utility pole on the side of the road. And the surveillance cameras at the station there got it all on tape. And as he was picked up by the ambulance, he told the medical personnel he thought he was being robbed and didn't know they were police officers. He made it about 4 hours after being shot, long enough to say goodbye to his young, pregnant wife. Before he died on the hospital operating table, he told her, according to the Atlanta Journal and Constipation, "I didn't do anything wrong. I love you. Take care of yourself." No drugs were found in the vehicle or on his body. Autopsy showed no drugs in his system. He was complete and utter innocent bystander. and this all being over maybe $50 worth of drugs. He said that one of his friends said it's no surprise that he was trying to help this woman. He was that kind of guy. He'd help anybody, even up to and including taking food out of his own mouth. You know, not being able to buy groceries for his family in order to help somebody else. So, following this shooting, the department, of course. Now, what am I going to say next? I'm going to look at the chat room right now. I'm going to stop just a second. And you guys tell me what I'm fixing to say, because I think you know we talk about this all the time. What was my next... what was my next thing I was going to say? I'm going to cruise down through the chat room here and see what's going on while I'm waiting to see if you knew what I was going to say. You've been listening to me long enough, I think that some of you have. Let's see. Mountain shooter, the tinker, you got it. Yep, they acted accordingly. Okay, let me read to you exactly what they said. Following the shooting, the department unsurprisingly defended the agents, backing their commando-style tactics and use of deadly force. Why can't it be $50 worth of drugs? I mean, it's like, you know, it might be a little bit different if you had, a team of guys in with AK-47s and a truckload of heroin or something, but we're talking about what I would consider a recreational amount. Don't get me wrong, I am vehemently opposed to drugs. I can't even express in words how opposed I am to any kind of mind-altering drug, anything whatsoever. But if you're stupid enough to do it and you want to do it, it's your mind. If you don't hurt anybody else, I quite frankly don't give a damn what you do, Scarlet. But I will say also that, you know, for $50 worth, they send all this, and an innocent pastor, young pastor, is dead because of this jackbooted thug stuff here. They said that Harrison claimed that he believed the pastor was trying to run over police officers, therefore felt it was necessary to shoot him. Well, he wasn't trying to run over police officers. He was trying to get away from someone from assailants that he had no idea who they were or what they were. The grand jury ultimately agreed and declined to indict the officers on criminal charges. Of course they did. After some paid time off, the agents all returned to duty without consequence. And some members of the community thought that was not cool. In 2010, his wife filed a civil lawsuit against the officers. The agents allegedly responsible for her husband's death. Allegedly, like the way they say that? The lawsuit exposed a number of shocking details, such as the fact that Agent Harrison had not even completed the series of firearms training classes required by the department in his 40 days since being hired, and had no police training on the use of deadly force as a police officer. He just got the badge and the gun and said, "This is too cool. I'm going to kill the first pastor that comes along just because I can. And I'll get away with it because they'll back me up." Said he might have escaped criminal charges, but he did not escape the verdict of the civil case against him in 2014, over 5 years after the pastor's death. U.S. District Judge Richard Story declared that Billy Shane Harrison would not receive civil immunity from the shooting, and a jury determined that he was financially liable for Ayer's death. That is so cool. Judge Story found it unreasonable for Harrison to think that Ayers posted an imminent threat of serious harm or that deadly force was necessary to prevent his escape. Harrison owes nearly $711,000 in attorney's fees and more than $121,000 in expenses, plus a judgment of $1.64 million, totaling nearly $2.47 million. Well, I hope you enjoyed your little bit of adrenaline rush there, Officer. I'm not going to say that. But, Anyway, what we need is a ceasefire here on the war on drugs is what we need. Speaking of ceasefire, we better cease fire here and take a little break. Let me move that out of the way, and let me put this down here and put that over there. Put this over here right quick. And I'll be back.
I'll be back.
I know. Me too.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
I am here in protest with the college students from Georgia State and Georgia Tech.
Protesting what now?
Well, they're protesting against equality and change, you know. We don't like the way the government is allowing us to be able to, you know, utilize our various, degrees and, you know, our job market into the, you know, society without it having to be uproared by the, you know, fear of what the government is constantly putting on us. Everywhere I go traveling throughout the train system and the rail system, you have Homeland Security everywhere. So, you know, how can I very well concentrate on, you know, getting a job and getting through school without having to, how can I stay focused without having to worry about, you know, whether or not I'll make it home safe, or, you know, this fear factor that the government has going on with us thinking that something bad is going to happen with our serenity and our peace and our homeland security will become insecure. And it bothers me for these school-age kids to be going through what they're going through. I don't think it's fair at all.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come to us and take it.
One shot at a time. Just like Gonzales, we're keeping our guns.
Hurricanes. Tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. Medi-Chat Live, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling in.
All right, we're back. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys staying up with me, especially you out on the East Coast, your Central and Eastern time zones. It's awfully late out there. Doc out in Mississippi and Tinker and all them that's... Palm Bay. I'm really flattered that you guys stay up with me. You know, by the time we get done here, it's, what is it, midnight? It's 1 o'clock in the morning for you guys on the East Coast, and you do it night after night after night, and I appreciate the heck out of that. I wish that I could probably, with a little bit of finagling, I could probably get into an earlier time slot, but I just can't do it. It's only 8 o'clock out here. You know, for a long time I did it from 5 to 7. I did it from 3 to 5. I've done it, you know, every time. And this is just about the only time that I can do it and not interfere, you know, dramatically with my life. It wasn't too bad while the store was running. We was at the store every day and all of that. It, I just take off. You know, Jason would be running things and I'd take off for a couple hours and go to another part of the shop in the little room that I had made just especially to do the show in. And it worked out okay. And then as progression came along and things changed at the shop, well, that became not possible anymore. And this is about the only time that I can do it. So thank you again for all of you guys that stay with me through all hours of the night. And you know, this whole gun control thing is so awesome, and I wish that more cities would adopt the type of gun control program that Chicago has. You know, over this last weekend, this story just came out today, over this last weekend, that means yesterday and the day before, there was only one killed and 35 wounded the whole weekend across Chicago. And if every city could adopt that type of gun control measure, hell, we would only lose, 50, 75 people a weekend, every weekend. And that's, and how many wounded would that be? 35, 50, would that be about 150? I mean, 1,500? About 1,500 people? That's pretty good. Not. Unfortunately, regardless of all the gun control that there could be, this happened in California. I don't know how it happened in California because, from what I hear, it is illegal for a 12-year-old boy to have a handgun in California. And so what I'm thinking, I don't know how this happened. But tragic news, nevertheless. Apparently, this kid is out at Fiesta Island. There you go there with the they have Boy Scout camps and stuff there, summer camps and everything. He had apparently shot himself and died at the scene. Found him in a tent, the gunshot wound to his upper torso there. So it probably, anyway, I'm not sure exactly where, but you have to wonder, and we may hear more about this later. They found the handgun nearby, they said. I don't know if they didn't find it at his feet or in his bed or in his hands. They found it nearby. So that kind of leads me to be either he threw it or possibly somebody else used it and dropped it nearby. Most people that kill themselves, and of course this guy's 12 years old, you know, damn it, I hate these stories, but maybe he didn't want to mess up his head for... because of his parents. I don't know why he shot himself in the torso, but it also makes me think that he possibly could have done it by accident. He had the gun, had other plans. Maybe he brought it just to show his friends. There's no telling. He's dead now, and we'll probably never learn what really happened there. But he could have just been messing with it and shot himself in the chest. But whatever it is, he's dead, and I hate it for his parents and his family. And being as how this happened in California at a Boy Scout camp, you can bet your bottom dollar that the liberals will get their money's worth out of this event. Let no tragedy be wasted. Let's see. Let me look. Doc, I knew there was some reason why you guys do it. It's got to be getting close to closing time out there. Most people out on the East Coast are drunk, so that kind of explains it. And I'm glad you pointed that out for me. The Tinker did probably drop by his gay scoutmaster. Yeah, don't even get me started on that. That's another thing. Pisses me off till I can't stand it. All right, let's get another one in here. This is about a black man. So you automatically know that I'm racist, right? It's a black man in New Jersey. He works at, you've heard of Benjamin Moore Paints? Everybody's heard of Benjamin Moore Paint. So he's filing a lawsuit against his former employer because they fired him. No, not because he was black. But if you look through the list of paint colors that they have, and Benjamin Moore has one that's called Clinton Brown. Another one's called Tucker Chocolate. There's another one called Confederate Red. So these are all just, you know, everybody comes up with snazzy little names for their. There's Fire Engine Red and all this kind of stuff. Well, these happens to be the names of what Benjamin Moore calls some of their paints, and have for a long, long time. Well, it so happens that this black man managed the online sales for Benjamin Moore. By the way, his name was Clinton Tucker. And I guess he took exception after he finally figured out that there was a paint there called Clinton Brown, another one called Tucker Chocolate, another one called Confederate Red. So obviously a black man named Clinton Tucker found this to be extremely racially offensive. Actually, I find it to be a coincidence. He says that the company's executive management were aware of his displeasure with the color names, but failed to take his complaint seriously and then terminated him, allegedly unlawfully. So we just, what are the chances of that? We have probably one of, quite possibly the only black man in the county, maybe in the state, named Clinton Tucker, just happened to go to work at not just any paint store, but a Benjamin Moore paint store, where they have Clinton Brown and Tucker Chocolate. I mean, Clinton, what was it? Clinton, yeah, Clinton Brown and Tucker Chocolate. So instead of saying, wow, that's quite a coincidence, you know, and I'm kind of uncomfortable with that, so, you know, I'm giving my 2 weeks notice. I'm just getting out of here because I don't like it. And I wonder how long he managed online sales before he figured that out. Oh, look, I'll make me some money now. Damn all this work and stuff. I done found out how to make me some free money, some Obama money. Well, anyway, they fired him over it. And hang on here just a second. So he worked on a project to create this new line of paint colors, and one of the shades was given the name Tucker Chocolate. The company already had the name Clinton Brown. The co-worker pointed out the names of the two colors, which together contained Tucker's first and last name, and thought it was funny. Tucker found it repulsive. Coupled with Tucker Chocolate, it was racially offensive and demeaning to Clinton Tucker. He claims that in a meeting in which employees were asked about their favorite Benjamin Moore colors, he turned to his supervisor and said, well, you know my least favorite colors. And the another worker there spoke up and said, if you think that's bad, what about Confederate Red? Confederate Red is another Benjamin Moore Payne whose name seemingly references the southern side. Why does Confederate Red seemingly reference the southern side of the U.S. Civil War? I don't know. Despite his repeated complaints and protests to Benjamin Moore management about these appallingly racial color names, no action was ever taken. He pointed the suit reads that he points out that the company still sells the paint colors at its store and online. Approximately 10 Benjamin Moore's New Jersey headquarters employees were black, and only one was homosexual. So Tucker identified himself also in the suit as homosexual, claims that since he started the company in 2011, it was clear that he was not part of the traditional culture of the company. Because this toxic work environment, they call it. Well, paint is toxic, but I don't know that that's what he means. 34 years old, had 9 years of work experience in online retail marketing. Says the company denied him promotions and opportunities for growth while promoting whites. Alrighty then. His boss ignored an email sent to him, requesting to be able to take off work to celebrate Martin Luther King Day. Oh well. On and on it goes about crying and crying the blues because he feels like he's been violated here. Okay, well, we've still got a few more. I wonder if we've got time to squeeze one more in. I'm not even going to try to squeeze one more in. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to remind you once again of the hunting rifle class that we have coming up. That's the... I believe it's the 16th and 17th of August, or the 17th and 8th. I'm pretty sure it's 16th and 17th of August. And, I didn't mean to do that. There we go. And this is going to be a really fun class. It's going to be, since it's going to be so hot in August, this will be a great class because we're going to spend a good bit of that time in the classroom. And we're going to study calibers and ballistics and bullet performance and stuff, and we're going to talk about how some animals are, how they're designed. Not every animal is the same as far as where that good humane shot goes. Look at an ibex compared to an elk, and see what has to be done. This would be something like an African hunt, which, you know, we're going to talk about big game, large dangerous game, and all that kind of stuff too. But look at what do they call them? A gnu, they say. And look at how tall their head is and where their horns go, and you'll find that the average headshot that works perfectly on some animals may not work as well on some other ones. You've got to not pay attention to the depth and breadth of the head and the face and the skull so much as that intersection of a line that goes from the eyes to the ears and across the front of the skull. So different size brains and this and that. We're not going to get into, you know, every different type of animal out there, but we're going to explain to people that they need to find their particular game animal and check and see. In North America, it's not such a big problem. But check and see, you know, if you're going somewhere and hunting, especially something exotic, check and see where those shots need to be made. And ibex is very unique in the way that their shoulders and how their heart and everything is protected. So that's the kind of stuff we're going to get into, and then we'll get out there and do a little shooting. We're not going to spend too awful much time on that absolute precision, you know, quarter inch group at 100 yards. We are going to talk about that a little bit, and we are going to, you know, work on it a little, but we're not going to spend all day on it. we want to be able to reliably, we want to talk to people about point blank range, PBR, not Pabst Blue Ribbon, point blank range. Point blank range is that range in which most people that you ask will tell you that it is that range in which you can hold dead on without holding over or under and keep it inside the kill zone of the type of animal that you're hunting. So let's say that you have a 30-06 and you're shooting a deer with about an 8-inch kill zone, about the size of a little white cheap paper plate. What would be the range? What would be your point blank range? Well, your point blank range will be determined by where you sight the gun in at. If you sight it in at 200, quite obviously your point blank range is going to go out a lot farther. If you sight it in at 100, then it's not going to be quite as far. If you sight it in at 400, then you're going to have to hold over and use, or hold under and use a lot of guesswork there inside of that. So for me, 200 yards is the perfect zero for a hunting gun, for hunting this part of the country anyway, or most things in North America. That makes my point blank range, depending on caliber, about 300, 325 yards, where I don't have to hold over or under to get inside that kill zone. Holding dead on at 300 yards puts me, depending on caliber, 4 or 5 inches low. Still right in the lower edge of that kill zone. And at 50, I'm only going to be like an inch and a half high. Well, at 100, I'll be an inch and a half, inch and three-quarter high. Still well within that point-blank range. So those are the kinds of things we're going to talk about in the hunting rifle class. And that's exactly what the people that have called about this, that's the kind of stuff they're looking for. They have never been taught. Yeah, they know how to shoot, but they don't know how to hunt. They don't know how to put their marksmanship skills into practical application in a hunting situation. So that's what we're going to talk about. 007, I saw your, I think it was a text you sent me on that. I'm glad to hear that. I hope that we do get some more teachers for that CCW class. So, anyway, with all that being said, I think what I need to do is start easing towards the door over here. Amy will not be on in the morning. Do not get up early on her account, or if you do, go out and mow the yard, feed the animals, wash a load of clothes, do whatever it is you need to do, because Amy will not be here. Wednesday is still up in the air. As you know, as you should know, Amy is in the People's Republic of California right now and visiting with her mother. Wednesday up in the air, but definitely not going to be on tomorrow. So, let me see. Did I just screw that up? Probably. That's one of the things I do very well. No, I didn't. I did perfect. Okay. Well, good. So, since I did so well, I better get out of here before I do screw something up. We'll see y'all tomorrow evening. I appreciate you joining me. Goodbye.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.